Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. It's November already. November 1st, and we're going to talk about some USC football homecoming weekend. The Trojans get a 7-point win over the Arizona Wildcats in the Coliseum, and now they're going to head on the road for a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about what Coach Harvey Hyde saw. What you can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to his website, HarveyHyde.com, for all of his content. We got some unfortunate news we'll talk about at the top of the show. But if you have any questions or comments, you can email us, podcast at USCFootball.com. Got a bunch of emails today. You can also call or text us at 424-254-9141. We got a couple texts and a voicemail to play for you. And, of course, if you have Apple Podcasting, the Apple Podcasting app on your iPhone or our Apple device, if you follow us there and leave us a 5-star rating, it really does help the show's been growing throughout the season, and more people listening, especially as we get closer to finding out who the next head coach of the USC Trojans is going to be. But today we're going to focus on the game that was over the weekend, and we're going to do that with the coach. But Coach, welcome in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, buddy. It's great to be back. It's been a quick week and another great football weekend, and I know we got to talk about homecoming and the Trojans and the victory over Arizona, blowout, 41-34, and depending what half you look at, okay? And, you know, all the things I saw, all the things that the other people saw, and what you saw, and we'll give them our opinion, they have their opinion, and we'll move forward. Let's get started. Break the huddle.
That sounds good, Coach. But first, we have to start off with some unfortunate breaking news about USC's star receiver, Drake London. He went down in the game. You remember catching that touchdown pass and was down on the ground. Didn't look great. They had a cart out there right away. Actually, he was down right near the tunnel, so the cart was right there. Put an air cast on him. We got to see him in the tunnel after the game. He came back out in crutches, was carted out, but was on the sideline in the second half on crutches, trying to encourage the team. And we were just hearing rumblings, Coach. We got confirmation it was an ankle injury from Dante Williams that night. He said on Sunday night he was going to be he's out for the season with a fracture of that ankle. So we knew it was an ankle. We kind of heard some rumblings, Coach, of what it was going to be. But just we're kind of waiting for the official word, and we got it on Sunday night. So he's out with a fractured ankle for the rest of the season. Obviously, it was, you know, record-setting performance this season. It could have easily won the Biletnikoff Award for the best wide receiver. And if USC was really any good at football, he could have been a potential Heisman candidate. The numbers he was putting up, I mean, just like the number of contested catches, you know, like 6, 7, 8 more than the next highest person in the country, just dominating in the Pac-12. Dominating USC's targets and receptions and just making big plays, yards after contact, whatever you wanted him to do, he was able to do. But unfortunately, the one of the bright spots, I guess you could say, of watching this USC football team, Coach, was watching Drake London play. Unfortunately, USC fans will not be able to do that for the rest of the season. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, I think that if you've been around football long enough and you had a chance to see the instant replay, you knew immediately what it was. It wasn't a sprain. It was a break. I said that immediately. I don't even know if I tweeted it out after the quarter or not, or halftime or whatever, but I could tell by watching the replay it was a break, a fracture. And when they bring out that little cast to blow up, then you definitely know it is. And sometimes, you know, those things heal pretty quickly, and I don't think it'll enhance or hurt his playing career in the NFL. And I want to wish him the best. And he's all of what you said he was, Ryan. As far as I've talked to secondary coaches in the Pac-12, just talking to them how you would play him or I would play him as far as if you played against that type of receiver. And they've all said the same thing. He's a great player and he'll play on Sunday. So that's the best compliment you can get, is when a coach says he'll play on Sunday. And, you know, it's a big loss to USC. In fact, he's the offense at USC. I mean, 9 catches in the first half. What do you do when you don't have your offense? And I think it certainly showed that in the second half when you're outscored 20-6 by the same football team. And they weren't prepared as far as preparing their team for the loss of London. And what would you do if you lost London? Because he's the guy you go to all the time, no matter if it's deep pass or 1 yard to, you know, run 1 yard out or whatever, this bubble screen, whatever you're going to do, he's the guy you're going to go to. So now they're going to have to regroup, and they have great receivers. They should be able to replace him, but not at the same level. But they weren't ready to do that there at the time, and they almost lost the game. They came within an onside kick of possibly of losing the game, and they were forced to go to the running game because they didn't know what to do with the passing game. And it matured, and the good thing that they've been working on that was Ingram had a nice day, and in fact, he would have had a great day, maybe over 300 yards, and been the leading rusher in the country. I think he was the third leading rusher in the country this past weekend. He'd have 300 yards probably without the penalties that he suffered. So I think they've got a lot of things to look at: a replacement of London, penalties, their play action pass, the mobility of the quarterback. I think they have a quarterback controversy now. What about their defense giving up 466 yards? One of the things I thought that was the most discouraging is you come back from Notre Dame at South Bend, where you have a sellout and all the recruits are on the sideline and your players are out there looking around seeing all of this. And you come back to the Coliseum on homecoming and you come out on the field for warmups and there's no one in it. And then later on they start to come and they have an announced crowd or whatever it was, 50, but it probably was, you were there, 35 maybe, at your homecoming. So that's not a good sign. It's for Trojan football and the players and the recruits that you have at your recruiting. So, you know, things have got to be changed, and it's got to be changed in a hurry. And I can think that everybody would see what I saw. And if you were at the game, you saw the same things. And I think it's now time that they move forward. And before, you know, TCU, that job opened today. So now with all these jobs opening, you better move forward and fuel the jet and start making some trips if they haven't made some already.
Yeah, they got to get going on this. USC had a head start, but there's people catching up with more job openings. They got to move forward, and they got to move quick to kind of get the guy that they want. You mentioned Keontae Ingram. So we talked to Dante Williams about that a little bit, or he brought this up, that they counted, and they said there was 133 yards taken away by penalty for Ingram. He would have had, I think, 340 yards or something like that, something crazy without all those penalties. So it's good to see the run game going, but a little discouraging that all, 133 yards were taken away from one player.
Well, it is. And that is discouraging, and that's the penalty portion of it. But the thing too, are you losing your identity? All of a sudden we've been talking about what's the identity of USC Trojan football on the offensive side. Is it the air raid attack, or now is it the running game? Well, I think it should, everyone's been saying it should be balanced, and you should have a complete series of, rollouts, counters, all the different things, powers, traps, lead up through, all these different things that you should have so that you're capable of being a running team and a passing team. And if you do lose your top receiver or whatever, you're still able to win a football game. Fortunately, Arizona wasn't as stout as what they could have been if they were another team and you're able to run the football, and they did a good job of doing that. And I think you've got to give them credit for that, the back and also the offensive line, as far as being able to win the football game and the trenches. Now, is that something that was a great accomplishment? I don't know. Arizona's not the best football team in the world, but you did prove something to yourself that the running game is important. So if they didn't have any running game or didn't work on the running game or didn't believe in the running game whatsoever, where would they have been? They wouldn't have been able to win that football game. So if nothing else, it taught Graham Harrell that you better have a running game when you can't throw the football.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. You need that, that you need the running game, and it showed that they had that. So, you know, if you have to run the ball, it looks like USC could, but that was against Arizona, like you mentioned. So take it with a grain of salt. I wanted to talk about the defense a little bit. And I got to ask Dante Williams on Sunday night about this. And he sort of, it was basically the general sense of the defense, especially in the Coliseum. When you look at Stanford, would they score 45? I forget what their score was. But yeah, that was the most points Stanford has scored all season or since. Same thing with Oregon State. I think it was tied for the most that Oregon State had scored in the 40s. Utah scored 42. I think they scored 44 this past weekend, but at the time USC played them, and since then up until the last game, that's the most points Utah scored all season. And then Arizona was, I believe, the last FBS team to not get to the 20-point mark, and USC obviously allows more than that. It was the high water mark for all these teams in the Coliseum. I asked, Dante Williams about it. He sort of talked about some of the mistakes and the explosive plays that USC allowed to Arizona, but didn't really address it in the entirety. It's not just one game. This has been a consistent thing. Pac-12 opponents in the Coliseum, they have their best offensive day. And I don't know if you've seen something like that before, Coach, but I mean, it seems really concerning. The amount of talent that's on the defense, but the way it's performing, I don't know. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, why the defense is allowing so many points.
Well, first of all, I can't figure out exactly what system they're running. You've got the number one defensive recruit in the country, Corey Foreman, number one defensive recruit in the country, standing on the sideline waving a towel. Now, I don't know if any other university, your number one recruit in the country, would be waving a towel on the sideline, okay? I would think you design a type of defense where you'd have Jackson and Foreman on the field at the same time, along with some of these other great players that you have. You're not lacking. Now, in the interior line, you'd have to do some changes or make some adjustments on what front you might run. And there's no question I'd be having the two top, maybe two top, not the only top, the one at kid at Oregon's a great player, coming across the line of scrimmage and just causing havoc, just driving people crazy, where they know, hey, we can't do this, we can't do that, we've got to run inside, we've got to try to do this, and because you've got two crazy people coming up the field and, you know, going inside, outside, doing everything that you can do to disrupt a complete offense. But for some reason, they decided not to do that. They got one guy waving a towel on the sideline and the other guy coming once in a while and then dropping back. And then in the secondary, they've got the players wrote so many rotations going on in the secondary that I don't know if they're preparing for next year or the following year or whatever, but my best players should be on the field. This is not an intramural program where everybody has the opportunity to play. You better have the best players out there. Don't prepare for the next coach. You better start finding a way to win yourself because you're being evaluated as a football coach throughout the country when you apply for another job. So, you know, there's a lot of questions in the coaching field or the coaching world where people say, don't be preparing for next year, but you might not be there. You better get your best players out there and go for it and design something that's going to stop somebody. And, of course, you know, this is something that, of course, I don't know what the schemes are, what they're trying to do. I see the same game, but all I know is I don't see the right players in the football game, and I see half the players that are on full scholarship during cheerleader activities. Now, to me, I didn't go to USC to be a song girl. I went to USC to be a football player. And, of course, it's important when players get into the game and coaches get into the game and you turn around and you're exciting, it's a big game, and you stimulate the crowd and the band's going and everything else. The coach says the same thing. But the cheer like that, what are you going to do, put your helmet down and hold a towel? You got to wear a helmet and be in the game and be on the sideline and be part of the game and know what's going on and listen to the plays and, you know, be ready to play. So, you know, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, but I think the things that Coach Williams has to address, he can't change, okay? He's part of the defense. He's the one that is part of the defensive coordinator. He's not going to change the schemes at this time. It's too late. You could do the things, but right now, you know, you'd have to make a lot of changes in people. Then your kids would think that, you know, why are you changing? Why are we changing? Because we're not any good. And why don't we do this earlier and all of the above? But they only practice about 2 days a week, so they can't put a new front end and this and that. But I know one thing that I see is they're not running the right schemes. They're playing too many players. You don't have a regular routine going on. The players at times seems like they're confused. Their tackling isn't that good. People escape. They're scrambling. They've got a quarterback plumber, the only quarterback on scholarship at Arizona, running like he's like Anthony Davis. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, we're making other teams, or USC is making other teams look like their athletes are unbelievable. Well, they're not. I mean, he wasn't even a scholarship, plays a scholarship plumber, but he went into the game and went under center. And I talked to the Arizona coach later on, and I said, I'll tell you what I was impressed with you is when your quarterback went under center, he was a better football team. Because you had a series and it fit him, and you had play action pass, and he scrambled up the middle. He scored a couple of touchdowns, and your offense came alive. I said, you know, the old guy under center isn't a bad thing to have once in a while. So, you know, even when I see people killing the clock, when they snap the football to kill the clock, I just have a heart attack thinking if the snap was bad, what might happen? So, you know, USC snaps the ball and the quarterback runs up and then puts his knee down. I don't know why he runs down, runs up, because he probably doesn't want to have minus yardage. But, you know, those are the things I see on the defensive side. And since you asked me, I'm basically telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the true facts, whether you people believe me or not. That's my opinion. That's all.
I got a coach. So, you know, Jed Fish, is that who you talk to?
I can't tell you who I talked to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was interesting. He's a really interesting dude. So unfortunate there. The team has lost 20 games in a row. He's got them fighting pretty hard. One last thing, Coach, before we jump into questions. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, the two-quarterback system. So we heard from Dante Williams, Graham Harrell, Jackson Dart, Keaton Slovis after the game, and there's some uncertainty of like when people were told. The quarterbacks both said they learned on Friday night. It sounded like the plan was just to have Jackson Dart come in the third series, but the second series was a quick touchdown, so they let Keaton Slovis play one more. He actually had a long drive on that series, but it stalled out. They didn't get any points on it. And then we saw Jackson Dart, but Dart came into the fourth quarter when USC was only down 7. It was still a close game, but they said that was just the plan. It was sort of just like a schedule, and it didn't really matter what was going on in the game. I think they were hoping to have a big lead. Obviously, they didn't at that point. It was a one-score game, and USC ends up getting a field goal. But, Keaton Slovis, I got to talk to him and ask him about the difficulties of it, and he said, you know, it's hard because you're coming off the bench and you're not really into the game, or you're not, you know, it's hard to know what's going on. He said there was that pick six he had. He didn't realize that defender, the linebacker, was sort of like playing out, some of those out routes, and it was doing that against Dart. And so he didn't really get to see it personally until he saw it up close when Anthony Pandy picked off that ball and ran it in for a touchdown. And so there was some of that, and he wanted to know why. He's like, is there something I did? And it sounded just like they just wanted to get some kind of spark going. But it was interesting, for sure. The fans have been asking for Jackson Dart. I mean, if you say anything nice about Keaton Slovis, coach, some of the fans just get on you. Like, you're a Keaton Slovis lover and blah, 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 and he's terrible. And I just don't think all the problems the USC's offense are having are on Keaton Slovis. He's not played great, but there's some fans that just want to crucify him for whatever reason. It's like, it just seems like that's the easy thing to do. Well, put the backup quarterback in. It's going to be way better. It's like, okay. I don't know if it's going to be way better. We saw Dart against Washington State and now Arizona. I like the way he's played. But overall, your thoughts on the two quarterback system and how those guys performed?
Well, I think half of what they might tell you is the truth as far as not having a plan. If you tell me you don't have a plan, or there's no plan, or they did have a plan but they didn't follow their plan, then I don't know what's going, who's got the dog on the leash, or who's leading the dog, or who's making the calls on this type of thing. And as far as the adjustment should be told to all quarterbacks. Should not just be the quarterback's responsibility to see how number 8, the middle linebacker, is playing the slant to take that away. I think that's something that you more or less pass on to all quarterbacks when you're on the sideline communicating together or during the break, so that no matter who's in the game, people understand what adjustments the defense makes. That's my answer to that one. And I also think that don't tell me you don't. It depends. We're going to do this rotation no matter what the score is. I don't really believe that either, because you don't know what the down distance. You don't know what the time of the game is. You don't know exactly what the situation is. You don't know anything. You're going to play the player that you feel you have the best chance to win with. And that's going to happen at every position, not just quarterback. Now, as far as I think it's not very good. I'm not saying it's something that isn't exciting to hear for a kid, but I think it's not really real great sportsmanship when you cheer for a quarterback coming on the field and you don't cheer for the other one that's been there for 3 years that you're touting for a Heisman Trophy at the beginning of the year. I think that's outright cruel, okay? I don't think, because it's not his fault. It's not all his fault. It's basically what they're trying to do. And they put him in that position back there where he's not the great athlete, or he's not the athlete possibly that Dart is, but Dart can escape a lot of those things and make it happen because he has better wheels. And he utilizes his wheels a little bit better than what Slovis does, excuse me, and he's a little bit more physical, and it can avoid some of the things that maybe Keaton can't avoid. So it's not just the quarterback situation and the play of the quarterback. I think it's what you're doing with the quarterback. And, you know, Dart sort of reminds me a little bit of Arnold, Sam Darnold, because he got himself out of so many darn situations as far as running on the throw and throwing the guys that went him, the route wasn't even called. They just found somebody and threw it, and it was a touchdown. He's sort of that type of guy as far as making something happen that wasn't planned. I mean, he is a physical type of kid. He's a bigger kid, and he could do things that Slovis can't do because he's more of a second running back, which Slovis isn't. Yet I mentioned it last week. I saw him run down a linebacker and tackle him in the end zone, or damn near the end zone, where they got 3 points instead of seven. So, you know, I think a lot of it goes both ways. It's not just the players. It's the coaching and the philosophy and the kids understanding what you're trying to obtain. Now, how can a player say, I really don't know what I did wrong, or they never told me what I did wrong, or when they came out or so? And I did an MC 2 weeks ago at the Rose Bowl, okay? And they named Tunnel 8 in the Rose Bowl, and I MC'd the event for Cade McNown. And I was there, and I introduced Mrs. Donahue, and she came up and spoke, and she says, I'll never forget when Cade threw an interception. This is the team that they had at UCLA that was going to win the national championship. It was a great team. He never lost to USC. He won 4 times. And he ran out of the field after he threw an interception, and he grabbed me by the head. Both hands are on my side of my ears, and he says, don't you dare take me out. Don't you dare take me out. I know what I did wrong. I won't do it again. So that shows you what a winner is. And, you know, he knew what he did wrong. And you've got to give kids encouragement when times aren't the greatest. And Terry let him back in the game, and he played, and, you know, became an All-American. He's in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. He's now going into the College Football Hall of Fame, and he's in the Bruin Hall of Fame. But, you know, this way you treat kids, but you run offenses that fit your personnel. And right now, they have no run series. You know, out of that run that they did, that Ingram was having a lot of success after, you didn't see any bootleg action or anything to hold the backside. Just can you imagine if something came back the other way, or if the quarterback bootlegged back the other side and he hit the tight end on a drag and a corner and a flat route, or he, I mean, there's none of that. There's no imagination. So, you know, how many times do I have to say this? So it's not all one-sided, but it's the way you treat your players and the way they understand why certain things are happening, then they understand. But right now, you can't ask either one of them what's going on.
Yeah. Slovis for the night was 15 of 21, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a 62-yard, the long one. Sacked a couple times. He had that one pick. And Dart was 12 of 18, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns, wasn't sacked. His long was only 19 yards, no interceptions, no fumbles for either guy. You know, one of the weird things I want to mention, Coach, real quick before we go to questions, when I asked Dante Williams about the issues with the defense, and one of the things he brought up, he said, Jamar Joyner, like he was He's like, he was a Wildcat guy, but he was a quarterback in this game. And I remember asking Williams about Joyner, like, heading into the game. It's not like this was some mystery, but it sounded like, well, they did some stuff we didn't see. Like, Joyner was back there as a quarterback. He had that 73-yard touchdown. But he, you know, he threw five passes. He was 2 of 5. It wasn't like it was a huge part. You know, he got that one big touchdown early on. But that was a weird one for me, Coach. I'm like, I literally asked you about Joyner, like, heading into the game. And then afterwards, you're like, yeah, Joyner wasn't just like a Wildcat. He was like a quarterback. To me, it was more concerning that Plummer, like, had the most anything he's ever done, you know? Like, they still sacked him 4 times, but he moved the ball a lot better than he's ever, than we've seen him go on. But I just thought that was a weird one, Coach.
Well, you know, he's in a difficult situation. He's trying to be a head football coach. He's not going to change the offense. He's not going to change the defense. He's more or less in control and responsible for it. And probably he's not watching as much film, and he's getting confused. And he, right now, he's got his back against the wall, and he's really not used to press conferences like this. So he doesn't know what to say. I mean, I can see that happening. I mean, I want to stick up for the guy in that type of things, because it's very difficult to say exactly what you're supposed to say in the proper way, answer the question, but say it where it's understood in a way you want it understood and printed. You can't just beat around the point, but the media is not dumb, okay? The people that ask you these questions are smart, and if you start misleading them, then you're going to start seeing articles and discussions like you're having with me now, and it's going to make you and put you in a worse limelight than what you were. You're better off to say, we screwed that up, or I made that call. I won't make that call again, and we made a mistake there. It's my fault, not the kid's fault. What's next? What about the starting quarterback? Who's going to start? Well, I don't know who's going to start, but I'll tell you what, you'll know when the game starts. rather than to, you know, mislead you guys, because I'm not quite sure. I'm going to tell them after I watch warm-ups, and that's the way it goes. Or why did you do those rotations, the way you rotated them? I really don't know why we did it. We probably screwed it up. We were after losing London, we didn't know what to do. We felt maybe Jackson Dart could run a little bit more and had a little bit more athletic ability. I mean, you know, give a little football answer with it too, not a bunch of strategies and this and that and just a bunch of conversation. But again, you know, he's learning this, and it's not an easy thing to do. And again, he's not going to tell Graham Harrell what to do. He's not. I'm going to tell you that right. And he might tell him run the ball, but you think he might listen. He might not. Or he tells Orlando what to do. I'm not quite sure what he's doing on that side of the football. When I watch him, he's more or less a head coach, not telling either of them what to do, except for maybe through the headset. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you on that, but because I'm not there, but it's just what I observe, and I don't go to press conferences, so I really don't ask questions, and they probably don't want me there, because I might ask questions that are pretty difficult.
One real quick thing, they did announce kickoff, so USC goes on the road for back-to-back weeks. We found out that Arizona State, the Arizona State game was going to be at 7:30 on ESPN Pacific time, so USC, Arizona State next weekend, and the following weekend, November 13th, USC will be at Cal. That's going to be an early kickoff, 12:30 p.m., and that's going to be on FS1, just so people know. And then they return home for a couple more. You got UCLA and BYU. So two road games, and then USC comes back home. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and answer questions about the team and the game and coaching and all of that.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com. SonicTheHedgehog.com.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast. Coach, let's go to an email from our buddy Steve in Seattle. It says, Ryan and Coach, thanks for all the hard work you do for us Trojan fans. I want nothing more than USC to return to greatness, but it makes me crazy to see Dart go on with that one eye black strip down his face. That's such a look at me move and very un-Trojan tradition unified team-like. The coaches shouldn't allow that looseness, no matter how strong his arm is. Isn't that why Kiffin, Sark, and Helton were fired ultimately? Would love to hear your thoughts. Praying for London, Steve in Seattle.
Well, you know, kids are different today, and they do these things, and they start these traditional things that they believe in, and if I don't do it, I'm superstitious, Coach. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I mean, I've had my bouts with a lot of players on that. I mean, great players, Icky Woods, Randall Cunningham, over things they wanted to do. But then again, I talk to them about their image and what they want to portray and out there and what their responsibility is to the team. And like Terrell Davis, I had some things with him I had to tell him about. And you know, kids are funny, but I agree with Steve. I think I'd have a heart-to-heart talk with him saying, you know, Jackson, you know, that I know it's Halloween tomorrow, okay? And he'd look at me and laugh. I know it's Halloween, but people know who you are, okay? It's Halloween, so that mask doesn't really work. So why don't we just do away with that if you want just to put the straight eyeliners, because there really was all designed for the sun and the glare. That's where it started for receivers and punt return guys and so on. But to smear it all over your face, really, it's not Halloween. And I think as a type of player you are and the person you are and what we want to represent here at USC, I would appreciate it. I would make it his idea that in your long run, in the overall program and your benefit, that it's best you don't do that. And I think that he would understand that. Being a smart kid, he would understand that you have his best interest at heart. And he would do that. And if he didn't do that, then, you know, I'd say, you know, maybe you shouldn't play. And he'd look at me, I'd say, you got to be crazy. And I'd say, I don't know. I mean, I told one of my players, I'll give you an example, Randall Cunningham. I was on the pony shoe board, okay, when Pony Shoes was part like Adidas and everything else. And we were signed with Pony Shoes, and Randall told me he didn't like Pony Shoes. I said, really? Well, what shoe? And he told me what shoe he liked. I said, well, you're going to wear a Pony Shoe. And if you don't wear a Pony Shoe, we're going to take the shoe you have, and we're going to make it a Pony Shoe. And he said, well, how are you going to do that? And I told him how we're going to do that. We're going to paint it up and put the stripe on it. We'll take the other team's shoe off, and you're going to wear a pony stripe. That's just the way it's going to be. Oh, well, man, I say, hey, Randall, grow up. Just grow up. This isn't a beach party, okay? We've got a program. Grow up. I'm going to let you wear your shoe, but we're going to spat it out and make it where it looks like the way it's supposed to be on national television. Why in the hell do you think that Pony sponsors it? Because we have our players wear it, and I wear a shirt that says Pony on it with their insignia. So grow up. I just told him like that. Grow up, and all of a sudden everything was fine. But sometimes you have to tell kids, you know, we're not in a sandbox any longer. You're not on the swings any longer. It's time now to, you know, graduate and go to the next level. So sometimes a head coach has to, you know, tell them sometimes like your parent tells your kid, you're not going to play in the street anymore. And I think this is the way you got to handle that. I really, in the best interest of the player.
Yeah, Coach. All right. I don't have an issue with the, it's kind of cool looking, but whatever. I mean, I get it. Like,
well, you don't have an issue with it because you don't know the whole background on it. What if they all decided to have their own look?
Yeah.
All of them. Now tell me, what would that look like? Look like a circus, wouldn't it? Why don't we wear clown uniforms?
I mean, it's a helmet. You got a helmet over their face. So like, if they're going to,
well, you know, but that's the point of being a team. You ever heard of being a team? Everybody looking the same and doing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean,
no, just think about that.
I get it. I mean, I think there's, I think for the, if you want to, you want to look at them, and if I look at the team, I don't look at Jackson Dart from his uniform and like, okay, he looks different. Just when he takes.
I do. You don't notice that some socks, or some guys have one sock high, one sock low, or Drake London has his socks real low, and the other socks are up high. You don't notice that, sir?
Well, I do.
Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth.
No, I don't notice that, but I would be good with that. That they should all do the same thing, unless it's Drake London. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But
no, I don't buy that either.
If it's something under his helmet, I'm like,
He's your captain. He's your captain. He's playing for the Trojan. He's going to be a Biletnikoff winner. He's going to be a first-round draft choice. You want endorsements. You want people that love that kid. They already love him. But you're doing it for his best interest. Yeah. It's not all about me. It's about us. And I disagree with you. You know why? It's just our opinion.
I like it.
That's all.
I like a coach.
You got your opinion. Yeah. I got my opinion. Okay? Maybe I'm a little bit too old school, you know?
It's all right, coach. That's why we got you on. We want the different opinions.
Sir, we got a lot of old-time listeners.
We do. Sir Eric of Troy texted in. He said, Coach Hyde, I heard you say the coaches would not just be mailing in their performances because they are now essentially auditioning for other jobs. Well, if that's true, Todd Orlando must be planning to apply at a dairy farm because his defensive scheme has more holes in it than a pound of Swiss cheese. Did Helton get fired have any effect on his coaching? Personally, I don't see how, but I'll yield to your expert answer. Thanks, Coach, from Sir Eric of Troy.
Well, I don't think Helton's firing has helped the team any. I don't think they're playing any better than if he'd have been the head football coach. I'll be honest with you there. I think they're the same team. Maybe the secondary would have been playing better because Dante would have still been the secondary coach. I don't know if the record, what the record would have been, but I think that the kids liked him, and I think they played for him. I think the public liked him. I think that the controversy out there was, you know, make a change, make a change, make a change. I think the timing of the change was wrong. Everybody would have been talking about who's the next coach is going to be, who's the next coach is going to be, or whatever. But, you know, I don't think the team's any better. I think that the defense probably been a little bit better because the secondary may have played a little bit better. But, no, it's hard to tell those and make those type of, saying would they have been better, would they not been as good or whatever. But that's what happened. That's the way it is. And I think the best way to do it is play this season out, play for pride. When you're in this type of situation, what you tell your kids and you tell your coaches, guys, we're playing for pride. There's nobody else that cares about us more than ourselves. Let's don't embarrass ourselves. Let's go out with style, okay? I might not be your coach next year, whatever. You may transfer, whatever it is. You got to do what's best for you, but let's go out in style. Let's hit people. Let's play. Let's tackle. Let's play for ourselves. We don't care if there's anybody in the stands. Let's go out and get it done. Let's surprise the world. At least feel good about ourselves when we come in after the game. And we're together, we're flying home. We're all together. We're all part of this. If the ship goes down, let's go down together. And that's what I would be selling the entire time for this type of football team. It's a very difficult situation for these kids and these coaches. People don't realize that it is a very difficult situation when these coaches go home and they meet their wives and see their wives and their kids. And their kids said, Daddy, you guys lost. You got fired. Hey, when I go to school, people say you're going to get fired. Hey, don't think these kids don't hear that everywhere. So it's a difficult situation. So you got to unite under these type of situations and play for pride. That's what I used to say.
All right. We got a voicemail for you, Coach. Here you go.
Coach Hyde, why does this team continue to have players lose their helmets every week and then have to sit out of play? I don't see other teams having this problem on such a frequent basis. Thanks for your opinions and insights on this podcast. Stephen, PA.
All right, he's talking about not wearing their helmets, leaving them around?
No, when they come off. So helmets keep coming off during the game.
Oh, yeah, okay. London's came off twice during the game. And who was it? The one player's helmet came off. I saw a game. What game was that where it came off and they didn't count the touchdown? I forget what that game was.
Oh, that was
Was Arizona, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was the Arizona game where, wait, was it? I'm blanking on it. Yeah.
I can't remember. When I see so many games, I can't remember. But that rule, first of all, is put in it because normally you don't score a touchdown when your helmet comes off. But if you're inside and your helmet comes off, then they blow it dead, but you could really get hurt with people still coming in there. You don't see that type of situation where a helmet comes off and the guy runs for a touchdown. But that is very suspicious to me, if they have enough air in their helmets. Because these guys, if you watch the pros just lift up the face mask and the helmet comes off. Because they don't, normally a helmet, you're supposed to pull it open a little bit, pull it down to where it's tight and snug on your head. But when it pops off that easily, I worry about the amount of air that you have in the helmet as far as it fitting properly. That's my answer. I don't know what it is. And again, it depends on if it's pulled off or whatever might happen.
Yeah, so that was, it was a face mask on USC. And then the helmet comes off, and that's what it took away the touchdown there. So yeah, that was a weird one. It was okay. So it was Arizona was down 7-0 in the first quarter, So there was that. Okay, it's in the touchdown pass. Crap. Okay, I forget exactly when it happened.
But that's right. Everybody saw it. They know what.
They know what it's talking about. Okay, cool. So. That was definitely a weird one. Let's see. We got a question from Steve in Los Angeles. He said, I enjoy your candid insight about USC football. Can you help explain to the Peristyle podcast audience and me, what is the definition of a Jackson Dart package for this offense? It seems to me that if Dart runs the same offense as Slovis, which he appeared to do against Arizona, then it's not a Dart package. You might as well call it a sitting duck package. That's Steve in Los Angeles. Yeah, and then we heard there would be Dart package stuff. This was basically just a rotation. This wasn't a package. They didn't come in at a goal line. It wasn't situational. It was, you get a couple series, I get a couple series. So it was definitely different than a package.
No, I agree with you. It's the same offense. And I explained that to you earlier, that he's got better wheels and he could avoid things a little bit easier. And, he's a little bigger and a little more of a physical type of kid. So he's got a better chance when you're a target. And right now, currently with the offense, the quarterback's a target. They don't move the pocket. They don't do any move. They don't do anything. They just let him stand back there. He hands the ball off. There's no fake off the fake. When the quarterback hands it off to the running back, there's nothing to hold the backside or play action pass off of it. And, it's just, you're a target. I always know where you're going to be. And, in fact, I'm not even going to play you for the run. Okay, I'm going to leave you alone. There's no reason to even play you. I'd forget you even if you did run a fake out there because you're not going to carry it.
Let's see. Let's go to Ray. He says, my fear during the last couple of weeks was that the London kid would get hurt, and no surprise that he did. Let's hope the injury heals up and his pro career won't be in jeopardy. Certainly understand the use of a two quarterback system, but I assume Slovis is a junior and he will be done with football. He may have to have been an excellent quarterback under a good offensive. He may have been an excellent quarterback under a good offensive coordinator. Whoever the head coach is next year has enough film on both quarterbacks to make a sound choice for the starting job. Let's hope Harrell gets a high school job next year. Enough of his offense. Defensively, Orlando has to go. He can't scheme the defense to stop a 0-6, 0-7 team. They almost got caught. Unbelievable. Let's let the new coach clean house. Let's get some quality, qualified teachers. And finally, get rid of all the, quote, wannabe people on the sidelines. So much of a question. Ray just had a few statements there.
Well, I agree with you on a lot of that. There's a lot of wannabes. If you watch when there's timeouts and certain things happening during the game, I see guys on the field, out on the field, that they have no reason to be on the field. I don't know what they're out there doing, front office people or whatever. They should be out of the way. Let the doctor work. He's doing surgery. Quit bugging the players, the patients, and let's get it done. It's like we study for a test all week. Now we're in the classroom. You don't see a lot of commotion in the classroom when the people are taking tests. Well, we want to pass this test and get an A. That means we win. So the most of the people that are in there are wannabes, want to be seen and so on, want to be on television. And, I'd keep them back out of the way. And I don't know how strong USC enforces that. Or if they let boosters go in there because they're high donors. And sometimes I can see that too. Don't get me wrong. But I think that there's a certain area that people should stand and it should be enforced. And if there's anybody on the sideline near the players, I think it should be players of the past that the players look at. And when they look at it, they say, hey, son, let's play up to our ability, okay? This is what USC is all about. And I think sometimes these players and these people forget what USC is all about. When they look back then, they see a Ron Yeary or Brad Buddy or these type of players standing behind them, and they look at them and they say, these guys can still play. My goodness.
Yeah. Let's see. We got a couple more for you, Coach. This is a text message from Renee in Belmont Heights. Says, hello, Peristyle. So Ryan doesn't care what kind of head coach USC gets, such as defensive or offensive. But for the sake of conversation, which style of offensive and defensive schemes should or would you like to see USC run? Like pro style, 4-3, 3-4. Thanks, Renee from Belmont Heights. And quickly for me, Renee, I don't mind. I don't care about any of that. I mean, you want a good scheme, but it's about the person you hire. And that's, if you hire someone that likes running pro style offenses, he's the best coach for USC, then run a pro style offense. If you hire someone that's running like the run and shoot or whatever, and that's what he does, and you think he's going to be the best coach for USC, you run that. You don't hire a run-and-shoot guy and say, we're running the pro style. So to me, it's just more about the coordinators, everyone, the guy you're hiring, what's their specialty. You're hiring someone that has a specialty, and that's what you end up utilizing. That's what I want to see. So I don't say, well, I want to hire someone that only runs the pro style because I feel like I'm limiting what my choices are. You might, maybe the best job, the best coach for USC is running a pro style offense. But if you find a great one that's running something different, I would hire that guy if you think he's the best candidate, no matter what he's running. But I don't know. What do you think, Coach?
Well, you hire the guy that knows what he's doing and what offense is the best that he can master with the personnel that fits the competition of what you're going to face. Like I see the other day, they offered a lineman. You know, well, you know, that's great, but is that lineman going to beat LSU? Is that lineman going to beat Notre Dame? Whatever, you know. I think it's important that I told you this. I never recruited a player that my best opponent wasn't recruiting, my top opponent. Why? I'm not going to be able to beat him. So what, am I going to try to out-coach somebody? Are you kidding me? I'll coach somebody? I respect that guy's coaching ability, so I'm going to respect his coaching ability, but I got to have some X's as big as his O's. So you hire someone that knows the system that best fits your personnel, your conference, your image, and what I know, and my coordinators come in that know more than I do in that area. That's why I hired them, because I understand they're going to run my stuff, and I know what they run, believe me, or they wouldn't be there, or they came with me as far as from where I was at, because I'm going to have to teach enough people a lot of things that they need to learn, and I can't teach everybody everything. So I've got to be able to come in and teach the people that need to be taught, but I've got to have guys that have seen the lights on before, that have been coordinators in big programs, that have been head coaches in big programs, that when they walk in the stadium, they don't look around at the stadium like the kids do. They've already been there, and they know what can happen in that stadium if they don't play well.
Yeah.
But, Ryan, I got to go, buddy.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll let you go here, and thanks so much for everything. Sorry we didn't get to all the questions, but wanted to let everyone know we'll be back this week with a couple more shows, so we'll try to get your questions then. But, Coach, thanks again, and we will talk to you next time.
Good, Ryan. I just want to pass out one thing. On November the 19th, we're having a passing at quarterback club, a USC-UCLA sort of banquet. Get ready to get fired up. I'm going to MC it. We've got some special people, but Ben Botch from the Times, and Ryan Katari from the Times, both beat writers. We're going to be having sort of a question answer. I'm going to interview him. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the University Club in Pasadena. $25 for a great lunch, and you can go to PasadenaQuarterbacks.org. Or go to my website, and you can see that, HarveyHyde.com, and you'll be able to see that event on how you can sign up for it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we've got some special things going on. So, Ryan, I appreciate you letting me say that. I didn't ask you before I said it, so don't edit it out.
Oh, yes, I'm already going to edit it out, Coach. No problem. Yeah, make sure you go check that out. Big one before USC-UCLA. All right, that's the Coach Harvey Hyde. I'm Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you next time.
you've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.